This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news.
Buffon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffon, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. And play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffon 55. The John Buffon Show.
Hello and welcome to this special Monday night edition of Buffon 55, the fastest paced Chicago Bears football podcast available. I am your host, John Buffon. Hey, Barflies, are the Bears good yet? It's hard to tell with all these national pundits, but you in the barroom know this team is for real and they are in first place. Let's get excited about that. With me, as always, is my sidekick and trusty show producer, Bears Girl. BG, you even go to bed after that game?
I didn't go to bed, John. I think I got maybe 2 hours sleep. I was excited for today, and even more excited that we have another Bears game on Thursday.
Oh, man, it's the gift that keeps on giving. As long as they keep winning, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Now, Bears Girl, we heard from our fans. They wanted a little more Buffon 55. I can't blame them. This show's pretty awesome. So we're going to try something a little bit different tonight on this special edition show. Why don't you tell the listeners what's going to be going on?
That's right, John. Your listeners do want more Buffon. So tonight we're going to have two sets of Buffon 55 questions. We're going to start with five questions about the Bears and Vikings game, head into our game preview with the Lions-Bears and your special guest, and then head right back here for another rapid round of Buffon 55 questions. Are you ready, John?
Oh, man. More five. I can't even talk right now. I'm ready to go. Let's do it, Bears. Let's go.
All right, so let's remind our listeners, especially our new ones, how this part of the show works. I'm going to ask you five questions. You've got 55 seconds to respond. The reason you picked 55 seconds is as a tribute to your uncle, Doug Buffon, who wore numbered 55 during his 15 seasons with the Chicago Bears. At the end of 55 seconds, you're going to hear a whistle, at which time you can start to wrap up your response. Here is your first question, John. Give us your overall assessment of the Bears versus Vikings in 55 seconds. I am talking all the highs and all the lows. Go.
Well, I mean, it was an emotional roller coaster. There's no doubting that. But this is a game that the Bears probably lose last year. Hell, this is a game that the Bears might have lost last month. We saw a team get out to a hot start, fade like they did against Green Bay, but made enough plays to actually finish. That's what good teams do. They finish close games against good teams, and they handle momentum shifts. We saw a young quarterback start strong, fade a little bit. He didn't get rattled. He settled down, and he came through in an ugly game to win. I saw a defense rise to the occasion, basically stonewall two of the best receivers for about three quarters of the game. And I also saw a defense that's playing angry. They are mad as hell. I saw Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack literally running people over. It was like a 17-year-old playing in a Pop Warner game. We had a defense full of Danny Almontes out there last night, guys who looked like they were playing children out there. The national media wanted a staple win for the Bears. Well, guess what? You got it. It probably still isn't enough for them to impress them. They probably still have a ton of different excuses out there, but this was a staple win for the Bears.
I have to agree with you, John, but I did get the fourth quarter sweats that I have gotten almost every single game this season.
That comes
except
with the
for Buffalo.
That comes with the territory of being a Bears fan. You just got to get used to that.
Let's go to question number two. Can you dissect the one play that you think was the turning point of this game, John? The clock starts now.
I don't think I really saw a real turning point until that Eddie Jackson pick six. The game started to shift. Some Bears fans did revert back to that here we go again mentality. And then what happens? The defense punches the Vikings right in the gut and steals their soul. This was the play that the Bears needed. This was the play Chicago needed. Something to show the country on a national stage that the Bears won't fold in high-pressure situations. Also, I said last night was kind of a pressurized situation for Cody Parkey, that was a playoff-like situation. If the Bears are going to make a run in the playoffs, it's kind of still weird saying that, by the way, they will absolutely have to make a late kick to seal a game. So Parkey better rent a room off Virginia McCaskey and start living at Soldier Field and kick off that surface every day. But getting back to the original play, Jackson's pick six, that epitomizes what the Bears have not been for the last 8 years. A team that can rip your soul out late in a game. We are so used to having our own souls ripped out. Well, it's 2018, baby, and I'm feeling like the Grim Reaper out here. This is a team, and this is a play, and this is a game that you can really build on.
It's amazing what happens when you actually kick where you play, right, John?
It's weird, you know, practicing where you play, you know, being committed to your craft. Well, we won't go down that rabbit hole. Go ahead.
Next one. Question number three. John, which player or players are you most proud of today or disappointed with? You're now on the clock.
I'm going to give an honorable mention to Cody Parkey, but one good game does not a season make, so I'm not going to give him too much credit. But he made a hell of a kick, so I'll give him that. How about Leonard Floyd last night? We've been giving this guy so much crap, and he looked like he was shot out of a cannon last night. 5 tackles, 2 for losses, but, I mean, he was just a big disruptor if you watch the game. Listen, I don't like much of what comes out of Chris Collinsworth's mouth, but when he said it'd be scary if Floyd came on strong come playoff time opposite Khalil Mack, he's absolutely right. Right. Imagine an entirely healthy Leonard Floyd starting to find his rhythm alongside an actual Mack truck driving through the other side. And oh, Akeem Hicks is literally there eating people. I saw him eat someone last night. So good God, man, that is scary. Floyd looked a lot more loose, like things were coming natural to him. He didn't look like he was trying to do everything perfect. He wasn't robotic in his movement. Let that boy eat. Honestly, if Leonard Floyd starts to peak in December, we are talking about defensive havoc of biblical proportions. Hellfire and brimstone will be raining down, and we will see another game against Rodgers, Cousins, and Stafford. That's exciting.
Okay, John, let's go to question number four. And I know Chris Armstrong's going to want to know the answer to this one. Matt Nagy wore his visor in a game where the temperature was below freezing. Is this the move of an apex predator or simply a man who loves his visor? 55 seconds starts now.
Hey, look good, play good. Listen, athletes and sports folk in general are creatures of habit. My uncle said he used to throw up before games. At first, it was just rookie jitters and kind of overwhelming nervousness of playing for the Chicago Bears in the 1960s. Then he said it became kind of a routine. He wasn't as nervous as time moved on, but he still had to, you know, get that spew in pre-game so he'd feel ready to play. So I don't know how long that lasted, but if Coach Nagy feels like he's in more of the zone when he's rocking his visor, I say vise on, man. If you think you draw energy from part of your outfit, whether it's a visor, a pair of socks, a G-string, whatever, you rock it, because it might be a placebo effect, but there are so many mental gymnastics that go into sports that you need that comfort, knowing that everything's in its place and you can maximize your performance as a player, or in this case, a play caller. So don't lose that visor, man. It's working. And you're going to be inside this week, so don't worry. You're not going to be cold. You're not going to have to worry about weather like that. Don't mess with the feng shui of the sidelines, Matt Nagy. You keep rocking that visor.
I am not sure how much could be in place if anyone's rocking a G-string in these games, but I actually don't want to know the answer to that. And we've also sent Nagy at Bears Barroom 2. Oh, so hopefully he can rock that at some point. Question number five, John. Seriously, where does Matt Nagy rank on your list of candidates for Coach of the Year? Go.
Look, he's got to be up there. What he's done with his team in year one is nothing short of miraculous. They're leading the division, turned a young quarterback prospect into a very efficient NFL quarterback, and has installed an offense that would have John Fox in a straitjacket at this point. He is top three for me. It's hard to argue against Andy Reid in Kansas City, Sean McVay in LA. Maybe John Gruden, for all he's done for the Bears this year, would be a nice candidate, but I think Andy Reid and McVay have already had solid teams to work with, but they should be recognized for that. They built those teams up, so you can't fault them for building up good teams in years past, but Nagy took over a team and a culture that was absolutely drained. Nearly a decade of losing and a fan base that wasn't lethargic as much as it was pissed off. Bears fans yearn for winners because they don't turn the back on the team. This isn't like other areas where if the team sucks, they just don't watch and they find other hobbies. This fan base is with the Bears no matter what, and if you watch all this horrendous play on the field for this long, you understand why they're so pissed off. So Nagy comes in with almost washes that away in a month. That's crazy. So much pressure, and he storms in and dissipates it. If the Bears win the division, I think he should be Coach of the Year.
And I am loving all the receipts that people are pulling from all of those national pundits who said you know, Nagy shouldn't have been hired and Pace should have been fired along with Fox. It'll be interesting to see what they're all saying come January.
Well, half of them picked the Bears to go 6-10, so that this should be interesting. They've already exceeded that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I had them at 9-7, so I'm expecting my prediction to be blown out of the water, but I'm actually okay with that.
No, I had 9-7 as well. I said the floor was 9-7, but you know what? I'm fine. I mean, make me look as dumb as you want. You just keep winning. Now under this new format, Bears Girl, it looks like it's time to switch over to the guest of the show. Returning to the barroom tonight is none other than Kent Lee Platty, but most of them know him as Math Bomb. He's a Navy veteran, math junkie, football nut, writes for Pride of Detroit, and contributes to Inside the Pylon. He's the brilliant mind creator of RAS. For those familiar with RAS, it's the acronym for Relative Athletic Scores, which grades a player's measurements on a 0 to 10 scale compared to their peer group, something way over my head and way more advanced than I'm ever going to understand. But welcome back to Buffon 55. Kent, how you doing?
Kent isn't with us just yet. His headphones aren't working, so he's asked us to recall him, and he will be joining us in just a minute.
Leave it to a Lions guy. He must show up one time.
Let's be nice. He hasn't joined us yet, but I want to know, what did you pound back as your celebration meal, John? Because I know that you go big after every Bears game.
Well, it's during the game, after the game, it's before the game. I'm also a creature of habit, and so far the Bears haven't lost when I have 30 wings in the oven. So I did pound about 20 wings. I made myself some cheese, garlic bread. I had some. Don't worry, I had low fat ice cream with peanut butter. So I'm watching my figure. So it was a good game. I got my protein in, so I feel pretty good about it.
And Kent is now with us, I hand it over to you, John.
All right. Hey, Kent, thanks for joining the show. How you doing?
Great, man. Am I coming in all right or no?
Your cable TV is experiencing difficulties. Please do not panic. Resist the temptation to read or talk to loved one.
All right, Ken, we talked about that headline in the Detroit Free Press. You said there's always one writer who writes a negative piece on the fan base. You got a rebel rouse. Is that kind of how you see it?
Nobody looks at a win against a winning team like the Panthers and says, oh, that game doesn't mean anything after a 3-game loss. You know, they've had a really rough time in the last few games. They've gotten blown out a few times. They come in and play real hard. They play really well for the most part. The quarterback that struggled the last couple of games plays really well. Guys that have been injured are now back. There's nobody that looks at that and thinks that's meaningless unless they're just trying to get headlines.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, there's always seems to be one in there, and it does get clicks. It does kind of, you know, you get people into a little bit of a lather. So, I mean, it's nature of the business sometimes. But I want to talk about some actual things that could impact the game on Thursday. What's the latest to the injury on Kerryon Johnson, the rookie running back, he's rushed for over 500 yards, averaged about 5 yards a carry. What does it do to this team if he's unable to play on Thursday? And do you have any inkling of whether or not you think he'll play?
Yeah, so it's a big deal. So when we were getting ready for the last Bears game, I had another podcast that I had done where I said that the keys to the game were three players, which was TJ Lang, who was out, Darius Slay, who was out, and then Kerryon Johnson, who struggled because there was nothing else going on in the game. But coming into this one, it's pretty much the same thing. Lang's out for the season now. Slay's back and healthy, so that's really good for the Lions' chances on defense. They have nobody in that defensive secondary right now that's doing their job well. Well, we have a rookie that's doing really well, but you guys know how younger safeties that start to play well are. That's always exciting. But Kerryon has played really, really well, and nobody else in that backfield has. LeGarrette Blount has ran. He's rushed for under 2 yards a carry. It was like 7 or 8 times this season. He's rushed for under 1 yard a carry several times this season. He had 7 rushes for 6 yards, I think it was last year. No, 7 rushes for 1 yard. Some ridiculous stat. He's horrible right now.
Solid average.
They've got nobody. Yeah, they've got nobody right now outside of Kerryon Johnson. But his injury looked really bad, and the initial diagnosis looked really bad. You know, the Dr. Chow and the other guys that do all the film study, they all said, well, the angle wasn't great, but it didn't look good. It ended up being the best case scenario that you could get without there being no injury. He has a mild sprain of his knee. They're saying it's week to week. It's very unlikely we see him this week. If we see him next week, I would be shocked. But the fact that he's healthy enough to potentially come back this season is a huge win for the Lions. But I don't see him coming back this week, which means the Lions are going to rush a whole lot of LeGarrette Blount. on 1 yard dive plays.
Well, I'm sure Bears fans love hearing that. It's also going to put a lot more pressure on their quarterback, Matt Stafford. Now, this is a guy that, you know, has always turned out good numbers. Kind of, some people say underrated, and some people say, you know, that he kind of flies under the radar with all this. You look at the stats. He loses Golden Tate, but Golladay kind of emerges. In your opinion, and, you know, you can use stats or just the eye test here, what kind of season is Matt Stafford really having?
You know, it started off really, really bad in the Jets game. He threw like four picks or something like that. It was awful. The start to the season was terrible. But between that and then the three-game losing streak, Stafford played really well, really well, like top-tier well, like top in the NFL. And then he fell right back off again once stuff started to struggle. The offensive line started to struggle. T.J. Lang got hurt. Taylor Decker got hurt. Suddenly they're looking at, you know, much, much different offensive line than he had to start the season. The pressure started to mount. You know, he hit that Vikings game and had 10 sacks in it. The Bears obviously took him to task the other week. So the offensive line falling apart, Stafford fell apart with it. He didn't have the time that he had. And our offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, doesn't adjust well when things are off script. That's why the Lions, you'll see when the Lions play, they'll probably have a really good first drive, and then their second, third, and fourth drives will all stall. That's been the story of the season so far, is that they'll come out really hot and you're like, wow, they might actually be in this thing. And then they start calling the same token plays over and over. And if your offensive line is struggling and you're calling those slow developing pass plays, you know, you're just asking for your quarterback to get hit. And they haven't been adjusting very well to that when they're not able to keep the pressure off.
Hey, you talked about Jim Bob Cooter. I want to talk about the head coach now, Matt Patricia. His defense is supposed to be his specialty. What do they do well, and what have they not done well under Patricia this season?
They've done a really good job with mobile quarterbacks and containing guys inside. A lot of the guys that they have on that defensive line, I mean, the defensive line started the season, it looked awful. There wasn't anything to really look at that defensive line and think, oh, this is going to work out well for the Lions. You know, Ziggy Ansah played 19 snaps in his first game, got injured, and was out for 7 or 8 weeks, however many weeks it was. Outside of him, they had A'shaun Robinson, a second-round pick from a couple years ago. Well, he wasn't playing very well. He got benched in one game. They had Deshaun Hand, who was a fourth-round rookie that wasn't really that heralded. And then they had nobody else on the other end spot. You know, that's completely changed now. They traded for Damon Harrison from the Giants. He's for a fifth-round pick somehow, but he's been phenomenal. He's graded as either the first or second best player on the team almost every week he's been here. A'shaun Robinson stormed back, and he started playing really well. He's hurt now, which kind of sucks. Deshaun Hand has been the highest-graded rookie in the NFL, which nobody saw coming. You know, so it's changed a lot in what we expected from that defensive line. But when you really start breaking it down from a granular level, none of these guys are real true playmakers on that defensive line. You have a lot of guys that'll do their job, that'll hold their gaps, hold their assignments, but they're not really exciting players. You know, the Lions had a ton of sacks the first few weeks of the season, but no real pressure. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL at actually pressuring the quarterback. And I think that comes all down to the type of players that they have and the lack of speed that they have on the defensive line, and then the lack of gap control that they have in the second level. Their linebackers have tons of speed, but they're just in the wrong spot half the time. So he's really good at scheming pressure from other areas, or scheming sacks rather, finding ways to get to the quarterback, but not finding ways to consistently pressure the quarterback, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's always those plays that you know are going to get sacks, but to consistently get pressure is a whole other ballgame. You talked a little bit about that defensive backfield, obviously banged up by injuries the first go-around with Chicago, and they had some trouble with the Bears' wideouts. Do you expect a better performance out of them, or do you see more trouble ahead as far as, you know, Bears receivers and Tariq Cohen and tight ends getting some free space out there?
Oh, there's tons of trouble coming for the Lions. They're going to have a little bit better go of it because Darius Slay is healthy. Darius Slay puts a whole different amount of it's a completely different look when he's on the field. He's been dinged up a lot this year. He didn't have a whole lot of problems with injuries the last few years, but this year it seems like every game he ends up leaving at some point with some kind of injury. But he came back healthy this past week and played really well, and if he still stays healthy through this one, yeah, the Bears' best tactics would just to be finding 23 and not throwing anywhere near him. Because you can throw at anybody else. There ain't anybody else that's going to stop you. Tease Tabor was their second-round pick last year. And I know if you guys followed along, you know I wasn't a big fan of that pick. But even I couldn't have predicted how badly that pick has worked out. He's been awful. He's basically a touchdown waiting to happen. And then Nevin Lawson is our other corner who starts. And Nevin Lawson he's always like right there. I don't know if you guys have had a guy like that, but he's always right there where he should be to break up the pass. And he doesn't break up the pass. Like, he's always so close in coverage, but still allows every play completed against him. So I don't expect much trouble from Mitchell Trubisky being able to complete passes against this defense, as long as he steers clear of Slay.
Yeah, and I think that there's so much for the Bears to kind of spread the ball around. That's kind of what they did their first go around. There's three receivers that had five or more receptions in that game, so they might be trying to spread the ball a little bit. Before I ask you about some of the breakdowns and some of the predictions for Thursday's game, Bears girl, I want to throw it over to you. Do we have any action going on in the chat room? Any questions?
Tons of action in the chat room to Kent's love for the Lions and our disdain for them. And we've got a couple of questions. So the first is a pair of questions from two different barflies. So Steve Zimmerman and Stacey Hefner both want to talk about Patricia, and they both want to know, is he a one and done head coach?
You know, it's pretty early to start looking at whether somebody's going to be one and done. I don't think that they're going to fire him at the end of this year. He's got too many close ties with the organization now. Bob Quinn came over from the Patriots organization. He was basically handpicked from Quinn. I actually called when Bob Quinn first got hired a couple of years back. That was the first name that I brought up, was that the Lions should have fired Caldwell and hired Patricia then. Now, 2 years after that, they ended up hiring Patricia. So he's a guy that has ties to the organization. They really like him. They support him. They're putting everything together. There's a lot more work that had to be done with this team than fans realized. I think a lot of us kind of caught on to that early on in training camp. When we started seeing a lot of the holes that we didn't really think were holes at the time. Coming into the season, we thought that the secondary was a strength. We thought the secondary had a lot of talent in it, and it does have talent in it. But Glover Quinn, God, it's depressing as a fan to watch somebody fall off and play as badly as Glover Quinn has this year. You're talking about a guy that could have been an All-Pro in any of the last three seasons, and he's just not good at all right now. He's struggling every time he's on the field. They've been slowly phasing him out with their third-round pick, Tracy Walker. But Patricia has made a lot of really good decisions when it comes to personnel. He's just got a lot of holes with his team, and his coordinators just aren't getting it done half the time. And it's weird because, like, one of them will do their job 1 week and the other one will stink. And then the next week they'll flip. The offense will be great, and then the defense will fall apart. And then the next week it'll be the other way around.
So we know that you love numbers and math. So our next question is, what's the magic number for the Lions being knocked out of the playoff contention? That's the combination of Bears wins and Lion losses.
So when like, what week are the Lions going to get knocked out of playoff contention? Because
yeah, we'll go with that.
We can almost say that's already happened, right? I mean, there's a very slim chance that they make the playoffs. They'd have to almost run the table, right? If they lose against the Bears, you can pretty much call it done, right?
Yeah, and I think an interesting question I saw in the chat room, not sure who asked it, but you talked about Jim Bob Cooter, his inability to kind of go with the game flow and not really go off script. Is there a potential they make a change at coordinator after this year?
I think it's almost a certainty.
I don't want to – there's 1,000 names out there, but let's put names aside. What does that new coordinator have to do to get the most out of Stafford and the rest of the pieces on offense?
There really isn't that much that needs to get done from a schematic standpoint. Most schemes in the NFL, I think we get wrapped up talking about scheme too much. You know, there's only really four or five actual schemes that are run in the NFL. It's just a matter of how you play call and how you get the most out of your personnel. And Cooter just has struggled to be able to do that on any consistent basis. He can write a good script where, okay, this time we're gonna use our tight ends. I remember last year we had two or three different games where he decided he was going to use Eric Ebron at tight end and Theo Riddick from the backfield, and he would alternate the types of routes that they would run so that the linebackers just had no chance. You had to try to cover Theo Riddick and Eric Ebron on option routes. It was really difficult to defend, but he would just do that once and then not do it again. He would just immediately go away from it. You know, the decision to go away from your playmakers, As a fan base, that's maddening, right? You got some guy out there who's just tearing it up on the field, and then they're pulling him off the next play. That will drive you insane as a fan. If a coordinator comes in with this team, there's plenty of talent on offense. You know, individually, their offensive line is not bad at all. They've got a lot of really good players on that offense, but their offense is struggling. You know, Kenny Galladay is a fantastic receiver. Marvin Jones is really good. You know, Frank Ragnow is doing really well on the offensive line. Graham Glasgow doesn't get a lot of national press, but as a center, he's done really well. Taylor Decker's done really well. There's a lot of guys on that offense who do really well. So why is your offense struggling? Well, you call plays like that LeGarrette Blount 1 yard dive I mentioned. You know, you call plays like we're gonna have a stretch play to our power back on 3rd and 1. What are you doing? who does that?
So there you have it. Jim Bob Cooter, great screenwriter, not exactly an improv actor, so to speak.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, if we only ran like one drive a game and then we were just calling it, we'd probably do a lot better.
Well, I mean, you can always you know, petition to the NFL to see if they can maybe change that around for you. But in the meantime, I want to talk about Thursday's game as far as if the Lions are going to win this game, because we obviously the Bears will probably be favored in this, or people would be expecting them to win this game. If the Lions are going to win this game, what do they have to do, or what do the Bears have to screw up to give the Lions a good shot to win?
The Lions have to figure out how to run with somebody other than Johnson, because Johnson's almost certainly not going to play. So they have to figure out how to get LeGarrette Blount to do something, or they need to play Zach Zenner, who I don't think he's carried the ball yet. They signed him back a couple weeks ago. But they need to do something with Zach Zenner and try to get him out there. They need to get Theo Riddick involved in the pass game from the backfield, which they did this past week, and it worked out really well. After they traded Golden Tate to the Eagles, they started trying to use Theo Riddick straight as a slot receiver, which there's always that great receiving back that people are like, why don't they just put him at receiver? Well, we find out why, because they play cornerbacks when they're playing receiver and they face linebackers when they're out of the backfield. Big difference in who's trying to cover you, right?
So if
the Lions can figure out how to just use their players the way that they're meant to be played and stop trying to be cute, then they have a chance. I mean, the Lions aren't going to be favored. They've just got too many holes right now, and they've got too many injuries. There's just too much going on behind the scenes for things to work out, I think, for them. But if they're able to come out and get a consistent run game going, the chances are likely that means their offensive line is holding up, which is good news for Stafford, it's just going to have ripple effects from there. So if they can figure out how to get a run game going, then they should have a much better chance. The defense, as I said, their run game has been tightened up on defense quite a bit, so I'm not really concerned about that. I think that's going to hold up. But their passing game, outside of Darius Slay, as I've mentioned, there's just not much there. So maybe some miracles in some defensive backfield. You know, maybe one of those guys suddenly decides he's going to catch something or do something. The Lions' other defensive backs, I always point out this stat because it's ugly. But Tease Tabor's played, I think, 19 or 20 games now. He doesn't even have a single pass deflection. And Nevin Lawson has been playing since 2013 or 14. I forget when we drafted him. Several years now, and he's never picked off a football. So not a lot of playmakers.
That's a fun stat for a defensive back.
Yeah, right.
Ken, before we get you out of here, I want a two-pronged question here. Number one, I want you to tell people how they can connect you with you on social media, read your stuff, look over your stuff, because it's really interesting stuff they're probably not going to get anywhere else. And also, I'm going to need a prediction out of you for Thursday's game.
Cool. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at MathBomb. I'm easy to find. I'll constantly be talking about my RAS stuff. You can find me at RelativeAthleticScores.com. That's for all my metrics, or Pride of Detroit, where I write for part of the SB Nation site. I don't predict the Lions victory, believe it or not. I think this is going to be an ugly game. I think the Lions are going to lose by at least 2 scores. What's a good high scoring, embarrassing type of score? We'll just go with that. that way my Lions buddies, I'll be like, oh, you predicted a blowout and it wasn't a blowout. And then I can feel not as bad about the game.
Well, we've had the kiss of
like
death happen here before.
45-8 or something.
When we've had people come on before and pick the Bears, sometimes they fall apart. So we don't necessarily love the fact that you're picking the Bears, but we'll take it. Hey, Kent, thank
Bears,
you so
Bears by at least that, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, hey, we appreciate it. So, hey, Kent, thank you so much for being on. This is really good stuff. I think people really got to know their enemy a little bit better this week, both your breakdown of the Lions. It should be a good game. We hope to talk to you down the road sometime.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great one.
You
Happy
too.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
All right, Bears girl. Fourth quarter. You know what that means. Tell everybody what's coming up.
Well, before we get into the second round of rapid-fire B55 questions, I want to let our listeners and your listeners know about a special promo that our sponsor, TickSplits, has going on starting tonight.
Tell them all about it.
Hey, Bears Girl, what's your favorite jingle of all time?
Well, although I've got to say, it's the Kit Kat one.
Give me a break, give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Oh, yes, I'm loving it. Memorable, catchy, and instantly connects with the brand.
You know who else is looking for a memorable jingle? TickSplits.com, and they're willing to give away a free ticket to the Chicago Bears Green Bay Packers game for a good one.
I knew that. A ticket to the game, and we'll set up a meet and greet with the winner and members of the barroom and other barflies. It will be fun. Bears Go, give our listeners some of the particulars while I try to come up with some TickSplits sample jingles. Like, for instance, how about this one? Like a good ticket broker, TickSplits is there.
These, although, no, that's not a good one. No. Okay, here's what you need to do, Bears fans and barflies. Step one, record an amazing, catchy 10 to 30 second jingle for TickSplits to use on their social media promos. It can be audio only or a video entry. Step two, submit it via Twitter and make sure you tag both at Bears Barroom and at TickSplits. Step three, send a copy via email to marketing@ticksplits.com. That's marketing@ticksplits.com with Bears Barroom in the subject line. Contest runs from November 19th until December 5th, and the winner will be announced on December 10th. Full contest details are available on bearsbarroom.com.
All right, you gave me an idea for another one. TIXBLITZ.
No.
Nothing
no,
like that?
No.
How about this one? You deserve some tickets today, so get up and call TickSplits.
No. No, please make sure that you're not using any trademarks or copyright infringements. Be creative, and as Matt Nagy says, be you. So head over to Bears Barroom for all the details. Submit as often as you want. Just please make them better than Aldo's.
And breaking news, we've lost all sponsorships after listening to all of us sing. In fact,
can you sing, John?
I was a wedding singer. There's a tidbit for you. I was paid to sing at weddings at one point. So, yes.
Are we going to get a John Buffone entry to the contest?
That'll cost you. Don't do anything for free. You know how that, let me show, that's a little bit American for you right there, Bears Girl. You don't do anything for free.
You get a chance to win a ticket to the Packers and Bears game on December 16th in Chicago.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll dust off the top hat and cane after all. So
there you go. All right, John. So let's remind our listeners how this part of the show works again. I'm going to ask you another 5 questions about our beloved Chicago Bears. And once again, you're going to have only 55 seconds to respond. That same whistle will sound at the end of those 55 seconds, at which time you can start to wind up your response. So let's do this. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay, question number one. John, the Pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving because they were grateful for their successful harvest in the New World. During this feast, the Pilgrims demonstrated their tradition of thanking God for this bountiful feast. In 55 seconds, tell us what the Bears fans, us loyal listeners, should be most thankful for.
Well, I think the Bears should be thankful that they are no longer in head coach purgatory. Last year, I think it was safe to say that most Chicago Bears fans saw John Fox as a lame duck coach before the season even started. There was no spark, there was no innovation, there was no passion for anything. And now we have a young coach dancing with his players in the locker room, drawing up plays that you run on video games, showing emotion on the sidelines, and making everyone believe, including the fans and players, making them all believe again that the Chicago Bears are a real, legit NFL contender. Think of places like Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. What excitement do any of those guys bring to the table? Jason Garrett is about as passionate as an unsalted Triscuit. Mike McCarthy's QB hates him, and Dirk Cutter thinks it's hockey with the amount of line changes he does at quarterback. So every week, we get excited to see what Matt Nagy is going to do and how he's going to scheme things up. Be thankful that run, pass is no longer our legacy. We have elevated to the level of actually liking our coach. When's the last time that happened? Honestly, I'm going to go past the bell a little bit here. Honestly, when's the last time that most fans can say they really, really like the Bears head coach? Lovie Smith? Even he caught crap in the prime years for not showing emotion and having the phrase Rex is our quarterback playing on repeat. So this is truly an exciting time.
I have to agree with you, John. In my 18 years following this team, I have never been this excited to watch on Sundays, and I have never spent this much goddamn money on swag in our swag shop as well as the Bears pro shop. So I'm thankful for that.
Good time
question
to be alive.
Question number two. It's good to be thankful, John, but I'm a little concerned about the quick turnaround. Our Bears players have to play in about 60 hours or so, and they're going to be back out there bruising it up with a hungry Lions team seeking revenge in Detroit at Ford Field. What's your level of concern?
Well, the short turnaround always favors the home team. There's no travel time. The away team has to kind of get their stuff in order a lot quicker. But as we heard, the short turnover may actually keep the Lions, one of the best offensive threats for the Lions, out and carry on Johnson. The Bears seem to escape Sunday night relatively healthy. Shaheen's a bit of a concern. Allen Robinson looked like he was limping around for some reason. Jordan Howard only had 18 carries, so maybe we see a big dose of him on Thursday. They have a lot of weapons to utilize, and I think they may have held some things back in their first matchup against the Lions. Once again, it's awesome to have faith in a coaching staff that they'll actually plan accordingly in these situations. So I'm convinced that the defense is going to play a better. I am concerned not really for their performance, but for overall health. Like I said before, those guys love blunt force trauma. If their bodies aren't in good enough shape and they're playing that way, I'm obviously in fear for injury. So I guess I'm not as much worried about the Lions as I'm afraid of losing someone important for a significant amount of time when the Bears are in a heated division race. So stay healthy out there, fellas. We need all of you going on.
And I know you were out there punching some punching bags and boxing just before this game. So you may not have seen the report that Trubisky is listed as reported with a shoulder injury. Concerned about that?
Oh, man. Mitch, no way. Superman. He's the bionic man. We have the technology. It'll be fine.
All right, John, question number three. I was at the Bears-Lions game last year at Ford Field with Aldo, and I witnessed my man Mitch throw for over 300 yards and a touchdown, but he also threw three interceptions. What are your expectations for employee number 10 on Thursday?
Well, he had a pretty nice game against the Lions this year in the first matchup, didn't he? 355 mm-hmm. yards, career high, three touchdowns. And guess what? We're indoors this week. I know Bears fans and defensive appreciators love the colder temps at Soldier Field, but this is the prime weather condition, and there's fast turf. So look out for Tariq Cohen this week. Look out for Taylor Gabriel this week. Look out for Mitchie the Kid. I think he might have some big plays with his legs, too. So there's no wind. There's no cold. Let the kid spin it. I think he has another 300-yard game on Thursday with at least two touchdowns, maybe a rushing touchdowns. Got to tighten up some of those throws. Some of those interceptions on Sunday night made you go, oh, what are you doing, buddy? But I think he bounces back. I like the way the Bears match up against the Lions. At least three receivers had five catches, like I said before. I think there's going to be a lot of separation at Ford Field for some of the receivers on Chicago. I said it before the first matchup. The Lions are a team that sometimes, not all the time, because they had a nice effort against Carolina, but if the Bears can jump out to another 14-0 lead like they did the first time, and I think the Lions start waving the white flag a little early. But don't look for Nagy to park the buses early this time if the Bears build up a big lead.
And I am trying to rearrange my afternoon because it's a regular work day for me up here in Great White North Canada to be able to at least listen, if not watch, that game.
It's got to be a personal day, BG. Got to be a personal day.
You know, I actually want to be in Detroit, and I tried to get the day off, but that's just not happening. So let's talk about next Sunday. The Vikings play the Packers in Green Bay. Packers are 2.5 games from the Bears at 7-3 with their 4-5-1 record. The Vikings are 5-4-1. So who are we going to root for on Sunday? The Vikings, the Packers, or possibly another tie?
I've called every source I have, and apparently there's no formula or circumstance in which both teams can lose. So with that option out, another tie, I guess, would be fine. But as much as I hate Green Bay, and trust me, they annoy the hell out of me. But it would be huge if the Packers could beat Minnesota and the Bears could beat the Lions. That puts the Bears at 8-3. The Packers and Vikings would both be at 5-5-1. That is a nice cushion in the division, my friend. That would certainly be sweet. Now, I essentially see this as an elimination game for Green Bay. If they lose, they're 4-6-1. The best they can be is 9-6-1, and I don't think that gets you into the playoffs this year. So this game is in Minnesota, but I guess I'm going to plug my nose and try to block out the stench of a cheesehead victory if that means that the Bears actually gain ground from that happening. But I'm not going to be devastated if Green Bay's season is essentially ruined next Sunday. No, I'm not going to shed a tear for that. I will not be heartbroken over that result either. So it's kind of a win-win situation for Bears fans, but you also want that cushion in the division.
I'm not sure I can root for either of them, so I'm going to go with hopefully another tie. Question number 5, John. It's our favorite feature, you closing the show with a pep talk. And since it's Thanksgiving week, we got so much to be thankful for. Sometimes life runs too fast and people forget all the wonderful things we have and that are around us. So how about you use this closing pep talk for our listeners this week? But please, don't try to sound like Tony Robbins. As head coach Matt Nagy says, be you. The clock is off.
All right, Barflies, I'm reaching out to you. I'm wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. I hope everyone gets to spend some time with family and friends, and we all get to huddle around the TV to watch a Bears victory. But let us reflect on what we have to be thankful for. I want you all to go back exactly 1 year. Where were you personally? Where were you professionally? And where were you as far as your fanhood goes? I know where I was. I was screaming about John Fox, Dow Loggins, and the group of water boys we dressed up as wide receivers. Last year, before Thanksgiving, the Bears were 3-7. This year, before Thanksgiving, they're 7-3. Think about that. Let's be thankful that the team we love so much is relevant. Not only are they relevant, but they're in first place in the NFC North. I think we can all be thankful for that. And on a personal note, I am and forever will be thankful to Bears Barroom and to you, the Barflies. You have given me an outlet to talk about my most favorite thing in the entire world, the Chicago Bears. Every person has trials and tribulations throughout the year, but I could always count on the Barflies having my back and raising my spirits, and you have all become family to me, despite the fact I've never met any of you face-to-face. That's something pretty special. And finally, this show never happens without the big fella. I'm talking about Uncle Doug. He's the reason I'm a Bears fan. He's the reason I stuck with broadcasting when I was making $100 a week doing local radio. And he's the reason I have so much passion when I talk to all of you every week. He's the inspiration for this show. And for that, I am forever thankful. And before we wrap up this show, I'm going to give you my prediction. That being said, I think Uncle Doug would love to hear that I'm picking the Bears to kick the Lions' ass this Thursday. Mitch has a rebound game. The defense continues to dominate. Bears 27, Lions 16. And don't forget, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Tuesday morning. That's different. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on all the delivery services you get your podcast from. We are on all of them. iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. I think we're on Tamagotchi and Gigapets. All you have to do is type it in and we're going to pop up and you can listen to the show. Bears girl, we made it through another one. Go ahead and plug that swag shop one more time.
Well, we are so thankful here for all of our Barflies at Bears Barroom that we have been working hard to bring you new swag shop items. There is going to be a very special announcement that I will share with our listeners tomorrow night. Back here on MixLR Live on 100 Proof, we are having a sale, folks, a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. We will let you know what the codes, what the deals, and what the swag is all about tomorrow.
And I'm telling you what, you got to get those Buffon 55 hoodies. I'll say it right now. Anyone who buys a Buffon 55 hoodie, it takes a picture of it and puts it on Twitter, you're going to get a big old picture of me autographed, personalized. I'm going to send you an autographed picture of myself with a really ridiculous message on it. I'm going to mail it to you personally. I will send you something if you can take a picture with one of those B55 hoodies or any kind of B55 swag. So that's my promise to you. That's part of my Black Friday sale right there. And don't forget... We have a massive 3 days of shows heading up to Thanksgiving. Stay right here for a new Bears Hour Live. Come back tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central for a special live edition of Bears 100 Proof. And make sure you tune in on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central time for another special live show. The Mike North Advantage has been flexed. We flexed Mike in the prime time this week. Don't miss it. And if you do, you can listen to all these shows as podcasts while avoiding your relatives over turkey and stuffing. I can't believe I opened up for Bears Hour Live. What is this? Like I said before, like I made this joke last week, but I think it still rings true. The Beatles have just opened up for Nickelback, so enjoy that show, everybody. That's gonna be fun. So Bears girl, we made it through another one. Hopefully we come back next week too with the Bears with another win. What do you say?
We will be back here on Wednesday next week, and I can almost predict we're gonna win.
All right, I will predict we're going to win. We're going to come out of Thanksgiving victorious. But thank you for tuning in, everybody. This has been Buffon 55 on Bears Barroom Radio Network. We're back into a regular time schedule next week on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. Bear down, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.